He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Two weeks ago, when I had my camp away, my week away on vacation at Camp Allen, I had several encounters with birds. I saw a bluebird as I was walking up the sidewalk to sign in at the conference center, and the very next morning I saw a red-headed woodpecker. But the most amazing bird I saw was the chicken in All Saints Chapel. They had several animals for small children to pet and touch, and my favorite was a glossy black chicken with a lovely red comb, a very calm chicken that let little children pet her silky feathers. While I was at Camp Allen at the conference center, there was a special conference there of Johnny and Friends. It's a conference for families of disabled and special needs children. Parents and siblings, all of them experience camp together. And there is a buddy for every single child and every young adult who's there. Parents had respite time, and all of the attendees had activities that were appropriate for their interests and for their abilities, in an environment of love and support. Families struggle to provide care for one or more family members who have great medical needs or educational needs, who worry about their children's lives as adults. In this community of Joni and Friends, there is ongoing support that is very meaningful. Some families had been coming to this conference 8, 10, even 12 years in a row because of the unique support and the relationships they had there. I saw younger, more able siblings rushing to help and calm older ones. I saw college students listening to and appreciating their buddies, whom the world sometimes has less tolerance for or use for and can be rejecting of. The tenderness at this camp was quite moving. It was, in a sense, a vision of the kingdom of God, where who is treasured and cared for and supported is broad and wonderful. In our gospel today, Jesus' hometown folks balk at seeing him as more than whom they've known him to be. They've known him to be that carpenter, the brother of that extended family, those brothers and sisters they've known. And only a very few can hear what he has to say. They hear wisdom, but they cannot square it with his hometown image. In the next passage, we see Jesus sending out his disciples to preach repentance, to heal, and to cast out demons. And as he sends them out, the message is clear. You can take a staff for protection from snakes and wild animals on the road. And yes, wear those sandals for that road, but don't take extra clothes, don't take food or money. Now, there are two things I want to say about what Jesus' instructions have involved. One is that at the time it was traditional to welcome the traveler, to feed the traveler, and to house the traveler as they come into various communities. Also, it's a message from Jesus for them not to try to rely on their own resources, but on what God provides as they move forward in the world. He also tells them, if you stay with one particular host in town, don't change to another house because you got a better offer. Stick with the house that welcomed you in the first place. And he says, if that town rejects you, move on to the next. Shake off the dust from your sandals. Jesus does make it clear that they will experience rejection. Shake it off. It's hard to shake off rejection and hostility. And yet Jesus says to do so. There will be times on that road where there will be places and people who are welcoming, who are ready to hear and change their hearts when it comes to repentance. Jesus certainly experienced that rejection for his words about the kingdom in his own hometown. While I was acting as chaplain at Camp Allen Conference Center doing morning prayer and evening prayer, I heard about the Supreme Court decisions that occurred. I also heard about our church's General Convention decisions in Salt Lake City. A whole range of things going on. And you know, at this conference, no one talked about any of it. When your child is wearing an external heart monitor that flashes on her chest so you know her heart is still beating, and you've worked very hard to put her hair up into cute little pigtails, and she's hanging out with buddies for whom her medical frailty doesn't faze them, all that other stuff just doesn't seem so critical. Disabilities can be so distressing. Did God make this person this way? Let this other person suffer in this way? It forces us to re-examine so much about ability and worth and about God's mercy. It calls us to greater patience, and it really stretches the demands on us to have a greater capacity to love those who are sometimes hard to deal with, irritable, frail, or needy. Leaders from our diocese and all the dioceses in the Episcopal Church just wrapped up that general convention, which was held, as I said, in Salt Lake City. They occur every 3 years. Also, there were leaders from the ECW, youth leaders, lay and ordained that were there. Every ninth year, they elect a new presiding bishop. This year, they elected Bishop Michael Curry, who is the bishop of the Diocese of North Carolina. I've heard him preach 3 times, once at a friend's ordination, another time at the seminary, and a third time at our clergy conference at Camp Allen. Bishop Curry is a short, wiry guy, African American. He has a lot of energy, and he's got this happy, optimistic presence when you're with him. He comes from a strong, well-run diocese. He is likable, genuine, and an articulate guy who is capable and trusted. I think that he is an inspired choice to be our bishop for the next 9 years. The convention also voted to restructure itself in ways that will cut back on duplication and confusion at the national level. For example, you may not have known that we have had 14 standing committees at the national level, but from now on, we're only going to have 2. So that's a good thing. They also voted to allow weddings of gay persons to be allowed in Episcopal worship. Now, I do not want this news to divide us any more than our Bishop Andy Doyle does for the Diocese of Texas. Bishop Doyle reported that he struggled with his vote, since he had promised not to vote for this when he was elected. He said he changed his mind 6 different times and eventually abstained from voting, which was then counted as a no. Bishop Doyle is in the position of leading a diocese that has a range of strongly held opinions on both sides of this issue of whether to allow weddings or blessings of gay persons in worship. For some in our church, it is a non-issue. It's simply the right thing to do out of the love that God shows to us all, with no limit or barrier on his love for us. For others, it may be more of a matter of discomfort, something they haven't really thought of, but it just feels odd. Still, for others, it really sits wrong with what they know and believe about marriage, that it goes back to Adam and Eve being created for each other to complete each other as male and female in marriage. Can St. Mary's continue to live together as the family of God, knowing that our opinions differ on issues like this one? I think we can. And with Bishop Doyle, I agree that in doing so, it reflects who God wants us to be, trusting in God together and dealing with each other with respect. There was much made of how the House of Bishops, who differ on this opinion, treated each other, that it was a culture of respect that they had worked hard to maintain and nurture. If we can foster a culture of respect with each other, despite our differences, we are modeling for the world a more compassionate way to be, one that does not include violence or fear-mongering or lies to divide us, but that remembers that God's will for us is so much greater than what we may will independently. I saw a newlywed couple at this conference last week, both of them in their early 20s. They had gone to high school together and met in the special classes they had attended. He had been in a riding accident and only had use of his upper body as a result. She had some sort of congenital condition and was quadriplegic, able to only move her facial muscle. I don't think she had use to be able to hold her head up. And she was on a respirator at all times. They apparently were married at Camp Allen in the chapel just about a month ago. I saw each of them being helped onto horseback, being led slowly around, the two of them each on a horse, she with a young woman who was obviously a cowgirl on the horse behind her, hugging her and holding her in place. And they both were beaming. I was shaken by their hopefulness. Who wouldn't deny this young couple the promise and joy of their love for each other? They will never consummate their marriage in the technical sense. And yet, there is such joy and bravery in how they face their lives together. It was startling for me to see them and find out that they were married to each other. But to see their faces as they were supported and led on those horses under the trees at lush, green Camp Allen, to me it was a reminder of God's love for us, each of us, no matter our ability, no matter our condition, that it is so much greater than we can ask or imagine. Jesus has already come knocking, and he is calling us to repent and believe. We have already experienced that extraordinary call, and we are called to spread the news of this love we have experienced that heals and drives out evil. Even while we disagree about the details of how that love is expressed, what it means in every situation in life, in the midst of that disagreement, we are still called to go out and serve with what we do know, what we have lived. One evening, and I think it was the last evening that I was there at the camp, tired from a particularly loud and chaotic evening, I headed out of the main building just before dusk, and I saw a 10-year-old boy whom I already knew was easily frustrated and not verbal, and a runner. He was racing this way, past me, up the drive, just full tilt running, and coming up behind him, about 50 feet behind him, was his assigned buddy, a young woman, a college student, and she was keeping pace. She had her Nikes on, and she was gaining on him gradually. She was a runner too, you see. And you know, she looked serene, and I knew she would catch him, and she would keep him safe. Get your staff ready, and find those sturdy sandals. The dusty world needs to know about how we can be the family of God and care for each other despite our differences. Let's show them. God in Jesus is able to love and forgive far more than we can ask or imagine. Amen.